Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
The black market of nails.
Yeah. It's weird because I feel like, oh, sorry, before we started this episode, I was showing everyone my nails over Zoom because I just got my nails done and very festive, might I add, very Christmassy. But
you didn't even get them done. You got them did.
I got them did, but Mark and them were saying that there's no nail salons. I forgot that you guys are in full lockdown in LA.
Pretty much, yeah. If you want to get your hair done, you got to go to some back alley or garage somewhere where somebody will do it on the down low.
I don't know. It just sucks. I mean, because we're not really going out. I mean, we're doing a few things for the kids, but we're limiting like who we see. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when I do the nails, I mean, I guess that's going out. But I mean, you know, you're wearing the mask and you're like, is this really doing anything? But I still wear it. And honestly, now I kind of love the mask because it's cold. So I find myself like leaving Whole Foods or wherever still have the mask on because I'm like, this is actually kind of cozy. Like, I like it. So I'm complying with no issues because it's freezing in Nashville right now.
Yeah, finally.
Everything is so cold. And we just had our HVAC guy because our poor son's room is he woke up, I mean, literally like he's the only house, like the only room in the house where it's, you walk in and it's like 50 degrees. And I'm like, listen, people, you've come 5 times now. I'm like, you are not leaving until there is warm air blowing out of my son's vent. And they're like, just leave the door open. And I was like,
that's not the right answer. Fix it. No, poor little guy. I wish I could sleep out there some days because it's so chilly and I love it.
Go for it.
But I think we have it fixed. Hopefully. We'll find out tonight.
Do you guys like sleeping alone?
I'm going to say no on that. Although when it does happen,
it's kind of nice.
Kind of a mixed emotion. Like it's okay. But in general, no. I think my wife would say the opposite. I think she would say, yes, 100%. Absolutely. It's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Easton?
Yeah, I'd have to say I like sleeping alone because I'm an active sleeper. I toss and turn a lot. I talk in my sleep. Sometimes I sleepwalk. And I always wake up feeling guilty because actually my wife is still asleep because I kept her up all night. So yeah, sometimes we have a guest bedroom and sometimes we'll diverge for the evening. And both of us sleep much better that way.
See, that's where we're like, I feel like it's whenever I hear that people don't sleep in the same room, it makes me sad. But at the same time, I'm like, that's because they're maybe not connected. But I would be fine if we like did our thing in bed and cuddled and then it's like, okay, good night. And then like you go to your other room because I really like to spread out, you know, like I really like to just like.
She starfishes when she sleeps.
I don't like to just be, you know, just in the corner. So sometimes it's really nice when we get into a fight and I'm like, go to the other room.
A lot of new homes are being built with 2 master bedrooms. It's a definite trend in this direction.
But I feel like that could be bad though, too. Unless, if you're not having the connection time before you go to the other room. Does that make sense? Like I know a couple that doesn't do any connection time before they go to their separate suites.
And connection time can encompass many different activities.
It could be sexual. It could be watching TV. It just means like connecting, laying in bed together.
Yes,
whether agreed. You do the deed or you not do the deed.
Right. No, I think that watching TV is important. It could just be a conversation. It just could be a recap of the day. I think that's important.
Yeah. And then.
So that's really been a trend? Like.
Yes.
Really?
I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like. You know, I do like having someone next to me, though. But every once in a while, it's maybe like, hey, every Monday, like, you don't sleep in bed.
I mean, I'm not opposed. But the whole trend of this being a thing, I mean, that's just dividing.
No, that doesn't seem.
That's just putting a bigger wedge in relationships and monogamy, I feel like. Because even sometimes it's those things where you go to bed and just knowing the other person's right next to you. Otherwise, it might feel like an apartment. You know what I mean? If like you go to the other room and you have this whole other setup and every night you're pretty much doing your own routine. That would just feel weird.
That's why I take a lot of comfort in her being there. That's why I say I don't like sleeping alone, because I really like looking over and having her next to me. Mm-hmm. But to underscore my point, Architectural Digest this year called it the hottest new trend in home building, double master bedrooms.
Wow. What a fresh topic. We didn't even know we were going to get onto.
That's so interesting.
You know, it definitely interesting. And but then when I say that, I could fall asleep like laying on top of you. Mm-hmm. Like I love cuddling and falling asleep, but that's not really your thing. So I've kind of morphed into like, okay, like you can go then if you want.
If I can't cuddle and fall asleep on you, I'm out.
I want a starfish.
Get out of the room. That's so interesting. What is this? According to a 2017 survey from the National Sleep Foundation, almost 1 in 4 married couples sleep in separate bedrooms.
I bet it's probably like because they're, I will say this. If you snored, I could not sleep in the same room.
Yeah, right back at you.
Like I'd be like, you have to leave.
100%.
Because that would just be, or if you, I don't know.
If I have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to snoring.
Okay, mister, you snore way more. Like,
but if I do, it's because I'm really, 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 really tired.
Yeah. Do any of you guys snore?
Yeah, I'm afraid I do. And the sad thing is I've done a lot of stuff because, look, I've always said, I'm just fortunate that this wonderful woman is in bed with me. I don't want to make it a challenge for her to be there. You know, I don't want to put up any obstacles. So I've done a number of, I tried all different things, you know, that they offer at the local CVS. Then I actually went and saw an ENT. I did what they call a balloon procedure, where they put balloons up your nose and expand your sinuses. Did nothing.
Oh no.
So I had deviated septum procedure, not a full surgery, but I was in twilight sleep for it, but they went in and fixed my deviated septum. That has made a big difference throughout my regular day, just in terms of breathing, but I am still snoring. So now I go to bed with these strips on my nose, doesn't seem to help. So I don't know what I'm going to do, because the ENT said, at this point, all we can do is shave your uvula, and I do not recommend it. So I don't know what's going
to
happen.
And how does your wife react to the snoring?
She seems to have gotten used to it. She sometimes does earplugs, but basically she needs, and a white noise machine, but she needs to fall asleep
before
me. That mm-hmm. helps a lot.
Yeah.
And keeping Friends on as she falls asleep helps a lot.
My two roommates in college, once I was off campus, so the way our townhouse was set up, I was on the main floor. We had a basement and their two rooms were across from each other above me. And they both snore so bad, you would think they're faking it, right? Like, it was literally like, you can't be asleep. There's no way they're asleep because the snoring is that bad. And they would be. And it's like they would compete with each other. I would hear one in one room, he'd be loud, the other one would get louder and just escalate. And my room's underneath them. This is college housing, right? So it's not like, you can hear everything in every room. And I would get upset with them. I have to go upstairs and wake their asses up because I'm like, I can hear you downstairs. Stop. Like, stop snoring. Wake them up so I can try to go back downstairs, fall asleep before they start snoring again. I hate it.
Is it like your vomiting noise? Like, it's so overdone that...
like, it's like I'm faking it?
It's like you're faking it?
Yeah. What about, like, a sleep apnea mask, Mark?
That's loud.
Boy, that's a step. I don't know that I want to take that step. My mother-in-law has one of those. She looks like Darth Vader when she's asleep. I think...
you're like...
That'll be the final ultimatum is when I'll get that.
That could, yeah, but like, you could double down. That could be your wife's white noise machine and help you sleep.
When she has her bags packed and says, I'm out the door, if you don't put this mask on to sleep, that's when I'll put it on.
Sexy.
Exactly.
Now I get the two, you know, you want to keep the mystery alive a little bit.
That's so interesting to me. Anyways, let's take a break, and I have another topic I want to bring up.
Oh.
Okay, so the topic I want to bring up, I read something on this recently. I didn't really read any like facts about it or why it happens.
I didn't really read it, but I read this.
But the topic of it was interesting to me. Yeah. And what was something that you used to hate that now you love?
Running.
Running?
Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah.
Scary movies. Even in the course of our relationship, like, I've hated them.
Uh-huh.
But I want to watch them more. One thing I refuse to let happen is to like mustard.
No, never.
Oh, never.
We are no mustard house. No mustard is allowed. If we have burgers, we even say to people, BYOM. Because wow. We will not have it.
No, we do not purchase. We do not waste hard-earned money on mustard.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, another one for you is, that I thought you were going to say, is beets.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. I didn't know, like, food.
Anything.
So, right, but that's not where, like, my mind didn't go to, like, food, you know?
Oh.
No, I, like, love beets now. I used to hate beets. Now I, like, but they say your taste buds, and I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, Becky, but your taste buds change every 7 years. So something that you might, so maybe mustard, I mean, we don't know.
Never. Well, I refuse.
But I didn't think I would like beets, and then all of a sudden, I had this lady make this beet carrot goat cheese thing, and it was the best thing I ever had in my entire life, and now I have it. I almost have a
yeah. Now Jana, anytime I go to the store, she's like, "Don't forget to get my beets." Like she's like she's loved them for 10 years. It's just like, oh, "You forgot my beets." You know, my mama's got to have her beets. I'm like, what? You just started liking them yesterday.
Anything you guys can think of?
For me, cooking in general, I was not confident in it for a very long time, and just this year, I got to feeling good about it, and I really enjoy it, and it's something I really like. So just cooking.
I like it.
Mine is musicals.
Wow.
And my wife brings it up sometimes because when we first got together, I was like, no way, no how. Once they start singing, I'm out. Now, I find them delightful. They bring me great joy. And maybe part of it is my daughter is so into Broadway and whatnot, but I feel like the transition had already started before then. I really enjoy a good musical.
Is there one in particular that kind of, what do you remember the first one that you're like, it's not that bad?
You know, Wicked was probably a pretty big turning point for me because I thought that was pretty spectacular.
And you saw the Broadway show?
LA, the Pantages. Yeah, major production. Yeah.
Can you, here's my question though, can you watch them on like a movie?
Yes, I loved La La Land.
We couldn't get through the first 10 minutes.
Wow.
Which is... But maybe we should go back and watch La La Land. I mean, we ended within, 5 minutes. We're like, not our thing.
It's funny you say that though, Mark, because literally last night.
Whatever night we were fighting.
Last night? Or the night before? I don't know. It's hard to keep track.
It's a good bet.
Yeah. I'm a gambling man. Good odds here. Jana, I was on my phone. Jana comes in and starts going on Netflix. And turns on The Prom with James Corbett Corbin and Meryl Streep and all them. Turns it on as the minute that
I didn't know what it was about. I just was like, oh, Meryl Streep, Nicole Kidman. I have a story about that, by the way, but go ahead.
And as soon as they get to like the third note of the opening song, she clicks out of it. Nah, next.
And I was like, I can't do this. But today when I was running on the treadmill, I was like, I got nothing else to do while I'm running. I'll watch it. It's hilarious.
Really?
Ryan Murphy. Have you seen it?
No, but I'd like to.
Is it
appropriate? Like my daughter would probably love it.
It's about this girl who is lesbian.
And
wants to take her partner to the prom and they cancel prom. And so they make this huge deal about it. And then the Broadway stars, because Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman and James Corbin are these Broadway stars, but their show does really bad, so they're trying to redeem themselves. But the numbers are hilarious. Like they're making jokes about like just Broadway in general, and then It's really funny. I'm like, I actually kind of want to go back, and because I'm out there after we got into a fight this morning. I'm like out there like wiping tears and going, this is actually really funny.
Going from laughing to crying, crying to laughing.
So I was like, this is actually really good. So I actually want to watch it with you because I think you would laugh at some of the parts because they're like, it's just funny.
I'll watch it. I never have have had anything against musicals. Broadway shows I love. I'll always have huge fan of them. I'll go to any Broadway show. Book of Mormon is one
of them. Book of Mormon is our favorite. I have cried laughing.
Tears, belly laughing when we went and saw that. We saw that at Pantages in LA.
And if anyone goes to Pantages, well, I don't know if Broadway shows are they even open right now?
No.
No.
Oh, it's gut wrenching. We're in a pandemic. Newsflash.
Right. Reality check.
Yeah, crazy. But Book of Mormon's is by far my favorite. I mean, I was like bawling, crying, laughing.
Love that. Love Jersey Boys. I mean, Hamilton, I just saw it on Disney Plus and it was phenomenal.
So we were going to get tickets to Hamilton, but it was too expensive. I was like, I can't. Is it still, it's good over, because it's long, right?
It is long, but I really enjoyed it on Disney Plus. We had tickets for it this past July or whatever, and that all got canceled. So my daughter was pretty devastated about that. So we're going to hopefully check it out once everything's up and running again.
How's her anxiety?
Worlds better. I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but the medication has helped, the therapy has helped, and she's in a pretty good place. There are a few rare times when it rears, but it almost feels like it's just the lingering, it almost feels like it's on the way out, but it's just gonna, still come around every once in a while, but it's so few and far between that I think she's really getting to a very good place with it.
But that's amazing. I was almost got worried when I asked that too, because you think about kids and the pandemic and wearing masks and not going to school. Like, I can't even imagine what that does for their scheduled brains and routine and stuff.
They're incredibly adaptable, and especially my oldest, who's the one that's dealt with that. But she's just kind of, it's almost the opposite issue where, and I've dealt with this, you let laziness take over your life. You're like, oh, that would involve me leaving the house. Yeah. Not because you're scared, just because you don't feel like getting dressed and putting shoes on. It's gotten to that point where you're too lazy to do anything. And that's what we're trying to struggle against right now. But they seem fine on the Zoom, although my middle schooler is going in. School is open for her. So that's kind of an interesting, weird in-between area where the high school is closed with the middle school's open, just because of when the semesters ended and when the shutdown happened. But anyway, they seem fine with whatever it ends up being. They're fine. They're glad there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Good.
When did you notice, I don't mean to make this all about your daughter and anxiety and stuff, but when did you start noticing like those kind of anxious or anxiety ridden traits?
My wife would probably have, the age down to the month, that moms have such a better recall for that stuff. But it was pretty young, pretty just the stubbornness and the temper tantrum started to ramp up, and the not being able to deal with stress, that sort of thing, was pretty young. I would say maybe 3.
Oh, wow.
Because I asked because, Jolie, she does something that has kind of been a flag for me a little bit in terms of this, where, and I know, and maybe she gets it from this, but, when she would get upset, Jana would do like a breathing exercise with her. Mm. And so now Jolie, she'll start to get upset. She'll be like, I can't breathe. Like, help me breathe. And I know the purpose of why Jana introduced the breathing exercise and why we do that with her, because it does calm her down when we're able to do it. But it's almost like Jolie's done something where now she has to be dependent on that. And I don't know. It's just kind of been a flag for me that's kind of come up where I'm like, you're 4 and you're saying you can't breathe.
Yeah, I get that. The positive I would look at there is that she is looking to you for help. Where mine, when she was in that mode, and I would say, breathe with me, she would refuse, and just me offering it would make it worse. Because there's part of them that doesn't want you to bring them out of it. And I'm not sure if that's just stubbornness, could even be unique to my situation. But to this day, when I say, breathe with me, the answer is a hard no. So the fact that she's seeking you out, the dependency, I think, would fade over time. I think she'll be able to figure it out. I think you're teaching her tools at a very young age that she will be able to use if you're not immediately available one day.
For sure.
That's a really good point, because I was just thinking, like, when I have anxiety, and he says, like, breathe. Like, I don't breathe with him. I'm like, I'm dying right now. Like, you don't understand. I can't breathe. And you're like, you're trying to calm me down. And like, but I'm like, Like, you resist against.
Yeah,
like,
that's, it made sense when you said that.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. I feel better already.
Good. And then I started to be like, oh, mom guilt. I'm like, I just taught her to be now reliable on something that's gonna cripple her.
That's the thing. I think it's an awesome thing that you taught her. And so, but it just the flag of maybe how she's using it, it just that kind of sparked or rose a flag in me or whatever. But I think Mark's point was great. And mm-hmm. that's probably what it is.
So. Yeah.
Oh, terrifying being
parenting. Are we wanting to go for a third?
Let's do it.
Y'all, we have an appointment. Uh-oh.
What?
No, I just said we have an appointment. Uh-oh.
An appointment to talk to the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About number three.
Mark, he's like, what are you doing? It's just a conversation.
We're just weighing options.
But you both seem interested and excited. Like, I don't see any kind of bristling on either side.
It was actually, I wanted one, he didn't. And then I was like, fine. And then it was, once I felt good about it, then he was like, I really want another one. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, what? Where's this coming from?
It's coming from Jace getting bigger and.
But that's the reason not to have a third one. They say, like, don't do it because you want another baby.
Trust me. I know. That's what you've been saying. You're like, I want a baby or a puppy. Give me one. I'm like, the fact that you can weigh the two in the same category is not
going to work. Here's the thing. I don't want another baby because I'm thinking about it. And I'm saying, like, I'm not just wanting, like, a baby. Because the other day we were at, you know, we went to see the lights and took the kids sledding. And it's like, man, they're good right now. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a third baby?
Mm-hmm.
A third kid would be fun.
Right. But. And that's the thing, too. I think that people, especially, you know, people in our situation that might look past the infant stage where it's, you know, Jolie is going to be 5, Jace is 2. They're getting those prime ages of, like, doing all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Going to see light shows, going to Christmas things, and doing all these fun activities because they both can enjoy it now. And then it's like if we end up having a third, we're not going to sacrifice Jolie and Jace's enjoyment. So we're just going to have to be lugging a third along for the ride.
Here, kid, take your bottle.
Yeah.
I love babies, though. They're so sweet.
I see why parents, just the more kids you have, the more lenient you get. Later on, because you're just like, whatever. Here, you want to eat now? Sure. You want to eat later? Whatever. Here's some Cheerios. Have at it.
Dad, it's 7 o'clock at night.
It's like fish food. So a little bit each day.
Yeah, we'll see, though. Mark and Easton and Becky, you guys will be the first to know.
I hope so. That's exciting. I mean, you got to think about it. Family of five is different in terms of tables at restaurants, getting on a roller coaster, in terms of your car, in terms of making Jace the middle child. Like, there's all kinds of stuff to think through here.
Oh, see, I would want two more.
Okay.
I don't know, though. Becky just said she'll babysit, so that's good news. She lives in California. A little small.
Perfect.
Small issue. It's fine.
You know, the other day, too, I had the kids in the morning, and I went and ran some errands with them and had both of them. And it was great. The kids were awesome. They behaved. I took them to Home Depot and had them on one of, like, the push cars. And they both sat on there as good as could be. They, like, loved it. They're, like, tired of the old shopping cart. I just got to start taking them to Home Depot and push them on one of those. And I came back and told Jana, I was like, you know, it was so great having them. They were so good. I was like, but if I was holding a car seat right now or holding, like, a baby carrier right now while I'm pushing the other kids, I was like, that would be a lot.
A lot to think about.
Well, later today we have an email from somebody who's in a similar situation, but they are not on the same page as their spouse.
Ooh. Ooh, chilly. I don't know, though. I mean, because we have to the other thing to discuss is, like, I had hyperemesis with Jace and pretty much Jolie too. I mean, I puked all the way, and we've had miscarriages, so I'm like, you know, we've even talked about maybe not carrying, because if we have one shot at it, my body's probably not the body to carry it with all the miscarriages and, you know, so it, but yeah, we're just going to talk about all our options and then put it on the table and drink a lot of wine and then figure it out. You know,
it's the way we do things.
What's the email? I want to, let's do that.
No. Are you going to do it now?
Yeah, let's do it now. We don't, formats bother me.
Structure. I don't want structure.
Let's read it now.
Jillian, my husband and I have been married for 4 years, together for 10. We have a 2-year-old daughter, and my husband has recently made it very clear that he doesn't want any more children. I am heartbroken knowing that I will have no more babies and my daughter will not have a sibling. When I bring up my disappointment, all he says is that it's too much to handle and that he doesn't know what else to say. I'm lost. I don't know where to go from here. I love my husband. I don't want to split up my family, but I don't think I can accept having an only child without feeling resentful for the rest of my life.
And there it is. The word I was going to bring up. She's going to be so resentful. And nothing against only children. I mean, my cousin's an only child. They turn out fine, but there is something like that would really be tough for me, because I think if anything, like, it's easier having two because they play together.
100%.
They entertain each other.
Once the other one gets to like 2 years old, they'll sit there and play with each other.
Like, we have mad breaks right now with Jason Jolie. Like, we get like sometimes 15 minutes where they just play together and we're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And we'll go play like Monopoly Deal real quick.
We will. So it's like, and you don't want to be resentful. I mean, I'm not saying to leave your husband, but you need to really tell him.
Why does the husband say it's too much to handle?
Just have him listen to this podcast and they'll say, hello, husband. It's not too much to handle. They're going to play together.
It's not. You're thinking short term.
Yeah.
Husband. You're thinking of, I get it, the sleepless nights, the when the baby's crying, all that stuff. I get it. Having two is hard. But once you get past those first 18 months, it's amazing.
Once you get past the first, like,
I'm saying when they start, months. When they start sleeping again, it's a game changer. But when they're starting to play together, it's not just for our own benefit, but for their benefit to see that. I mean, Jace and Jolie interact with each other, and Jace just be a little pest little brother and wrestle Jolie. And
I wonder if there's a survey out there where it's like they surveyed single only children and asked them, would you have wanted a sibling? I bet you they would say yes. You know, it's almost like you're doing it for the kid, too.
I thought you were going to go a different direction and say they surveyed only children and said how many of you are psychopaths or sociopathic or serial killers or...
No.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't know.
Like I said, Carl's an only child and he's, you know, but I...
Because Uncle Ray is like a brother.
Right. But I think maybe he took that role because they wish they would have had more kids. Yeah. You know? So I think, but you don't want to wait too long. So I feel like if you have a 2-year-old, they have a 2-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should just be like, listen, buddy. But here's the problem. You don't want him to be resentful that he has another one when he really doesn't want another one. So then there's just going to be resentment alley with both people.
He's not going to, he'll get over that. He's going to hold that little baby and he'll be like, all right.
I think so too, but also we're dads and that's we true. Have numerous children. So I don't know. Everybody's different. You're this right. is a really hard one because she's clearly, according to this email, has given thought to leaving her husband over this. And I wonder if she's communicated that to him. I wonder if he realizes how passionate she is about this. Because guys, like you said, think short term. Oh, it's going to be a hassle. Right. Yeah, it is going to be a hassle. But then that hassle is going to be behind you. I don't know. I think make it clear to him. This is probably a terrible idea. You're welcome to tell me that. Is there a negotiation to be made here?
Like I'll have sex with you every day if you give me another baby? Like that kind of negotiation? Because I had a friend that got a puppy and made that deal, and she has not, love you, boo-boo. Like she has not done what her.
She's not held up her end.
She's not held up her end of the bargain.
That's hilarious.
I was thinking more like, ask him what the biggest hassles are going to be and tell him you'll take care of it.
Mm.
And maybe that's a terrible idea.
No, I like that.
It should definitely be a team effort, but maybe it's the late night feedings. You promise him he doesn't have to deal with it. Or maybe he sleeps in a separate bedroom for the first year. I don't know. But maybe there's a path where you figure out what he's most concerned about and try to alleviate it for him.
I think that's a great idea, actually. What's your biggest fear about having another?
And how can I, help that? Because, like he said, it seems like it's going to be a lot. Well, there you go. You're just saying, what is a lot? Because I can do that. And moms can do it all.
That you can.
I will say I appreciate you folding the kids' laundry. I feel like that's karma for the one out of 500 times.
And
I love how you do it too. Like you like make all the noise in the room when you're folding the laundry because you want me to see that you did the kids' laundry. And that was what the most annoying part of the entire thing was. I'm like, wow, honey, you want me to say thank you for the one time out of 500 that you did the kids' laundry?
I was strategic, boys. I did it when she was mad at me.
What noises are you making?
Yeah, how do you make noise?
I don't know.
Like throwing the clothes, you know what I mean? Just like
dropping
really,
that
yeah,
basket.
Really making long, big arm movements when he folds our little baby tutti pajamas.
You'd have thought I was folding flags and sheets in here, baby. Whipping bed covers and stuff with kids' jammies.
And I knew what you were doing. You did it on the day that we were fighting.
Yeah. It's like, she can't be that mad at me. I'm doing the kids' laundry. Suck it. Strategery, boys.
What were we even fighting about?
I don't know. Who knows? No one ever knows. Just comes with the marriage territory. All right, so we have a guest coming up here soon. Leanne Locken.
She was on a couple years ago.
Yeah, she was. We had her on the show in the early days. And she's a real housewife, or was a real housewife of Dallas. And she recently left the show. So we're going to have her on and talk about that.
Hey, if you're still looking for some fun holiday gift ideas, we had some amazing vendors in our holiday gift boxes that we sent out for iHeartRadio's Jingle Ball, and they make some great last-minute gift ideas, like Card Sharks the Game. Just like the hit ABC TV game show, you can now play Card Sharks at home with the official Card Sharks board game from Endless Games. All of the fun of guesstimating answers to quirky questions and higher or lower card guesses. Play solo or in teams with family and friends. Get Card Sharks now at Barnes & Noble, Kohl's, or Amazon.com. Teleties, holiday-themed hair ties. They are the modern scrunchies and the perfect stocking stuffer. Shop now at teleties.com. Diddy Reese cookies are an L.A. staple and maybe the best cookies you've ever had. There's always a line outside Diddy Reese. Order delivery at diddyreese.com. Hey, I know you've been getting sick of the masks you've been wearing for months now. While Dancing with the Stars pro Cheryl Burke and clothing company Bailey Blue created a line of fashionable and comfortable face masks. All 12 unique styles are available at baileyblueclothing.com. Looking for a holiday dress or a gift for someone special? Make Francesca's your holiday shopping destination. With new styles and deals daily, you'll always find something you love at a price you'll love. There's still time. Shop online at francescas.com, at your local boutique, or in their all-new app. You can count on Francesca's. You'll find something for everyone. This year was all about music for the world's most fashionable dolls, LOL Surprise, from the Remix Music line to their own music album. They are extra, they are fierce, and they're the hottest dolls on kids' holiday lists this year. LOLSurprise.com to check them out. Enchant Christmas is where everyone can make magical Christmas memories, whether that be unique gifts through the Enchant shop or the ability to transform yourself into Santa and make real-life video calls through their Santa Calls app. EnchantChristmas.com. Randy's Donuts, an L.A. legend, is offering ugly Christmas sweater donuts topped with green and red frosting and festive holiday sprinkles, available at all locations for the entire month of December. They're the perfect dessert ensemble to help us all get into the holiday spirit. Visit randysdonuts.com for locations or follow them on Instagram at Randy's Donuts. Also, did you see our cool Instagram video singing to Jingle Bells benefiting Children's Hospital LA? Help donate to CHLA this holiday season. Visit chla.org/high-five today. You can also click the link in our Instagram bio.
Hi, cutie.
Hi, how are you?
Are you drinking a Mountain Dew?
That's amazing.
I love you. I used to chug.
So you know it has triple the caffeine of any other soft drink.
I used to drink the Ruby Red kind in high school every single day. Mm. I'd get one
love those.
9 in the morning.
Is that why you have so many cavities?
Okay, let's not.
You can get diet, though, and it has the same amount of caffeine with no sugar.
Ooh. I stopped drinking pop. Pop. You know, I like a Diet Coke. Is that? I'll do a fountain drink every once in a while, but I don't drink caffeine. So Mountain Dew, you can't have caffeine free. Anyways, hi, how are you? Your Christmas setup looks beautiful.
Thank you. I have a little elf here.
Oh,
I love it.
How's quarantine, 4 years, marriage going?
Awesome. Awesome. I got to tell you, you know, I'm the kind of person that I'm always gone. I mean, last time I saw you, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And being forced to stay home and like look at every corner of my house while I constantly have to remind myself it's okay, take your time. I'm enjoying the hell out of redoing everything.
My
husband, maybe not so much.
You know, I feel like that's why there's a home goods store or TJ Maxx, I think it is, right outside this little My Gym place our kids go to. And every time I leave, that store is opening and there's always a line outside the door. And I'm like, it's probably because everyone's just redoing everything in their house.
You know what? I will say this. I have a lot of people who are like in construction. And so during the summer, when COVID first hit, the summertime, everybody was like putting in, you can't even schedule to get a pool put in your house right now because they're so backed up on orders. So people were putting in pools and redoing their outdoors. I have like a half acre. So one half of my yard, I'd never even touched that patio before. Cause of course we focused on the pool side and I fixed it all up. I used reclaimed shiplap wood and put up a stucco wall and I loved every second of it. My husband cannot say the same. I have several pictures of him going like this.
Do you miss not being on the show?
No.
No. Is it not one of those things where do you, because there was backlash, like do you regret any part of it?
I mean, I think all humans regret things. If you don't regret, you're basically just an ass, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So certainly there are things that I regret, but I will say this, there are a lot of things that got twisted and are so, you know, what's hard for me is, and I feel this so deeply, and maybe it's because I live with, you know, an ex-lawman who, you know, first responder, but I get so tired of sheep. I want independent, educated thinkers. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it can be a little overwhelming to have a conversation with someone that's just guided by what they saw and not by what reality really is.
Mm-hmm. How has it been? I know, you know, you're quoted saying part of the reason you left the show is to spend more time and focus time on your husband and family and everything like that. How has it been with, you know, being recently married in the spring? And really it's like, all right, pandemic time, you really get that quality time.
Yeah, you do. Hi, honey. How are you? You know, you know, I will say my husband is really kind of a genius. Not really kind of, he really is a genius. He quarantines himself in his man cave and he has since the pandemic hit. He was just like, look, we can be up each other's butt 24/7 and, you know, just do this little neat, 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 neat. Or we can set time that there are projects we work on together. There are projects that we work on independently. But it's just really been a bunch of like love on the house, love on each other. It's funny, you know, if we get to a point where we're ready to pull each other's hair out, he'll just like order a meal in and a bottle of wine and I'm happy.
Right. I feel like that's got to be hard too when you said that they twist things. And I think that's where I don't think I could ever do a reality show because you don't really have that full control to be able to go.
You have no control.
Yeah. And it's like
no control. You are who you are. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't matter. They will make you who they need you to be for the show.
Mm. And that's just got to like. That just has to be just soul sucking.
It can be when they take it too far. It's ridiculous. And the problem I think that you have is, especially with a city like Dallas, you know, there isn't a lot of storyline. So because there wasn't a lot of storyline, I ended up having to be a lot of other people's storyline, which is just exhausting. I mean, I do believe I have the most famous I'm exhausted line ever, but I mean it. Like, mm-hmm. it can get exhausting. And I knew that as long as I stayed, I would continue to be the target. Mm. And cut the tie.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to be, and it's like you can if that's like your mind frame, and it's like, okay, great, like I'm going to be the villain, I don't care, like, you know, cash the checks, goodbye. But when you have that, I personally couldn't do it, because it's just like I want too many people to know my heart and know my, you know, the reasoning for things. And if it's always being twisted, like I could see how that would cause a strain in my marriage and just in general in work and life, like that would be really tough. So do you still talk to any of the girls?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I mean, I will say that last season was my hardest, both in my marriage and personally. And, you know, it's just really devastating what people are willing to say about you, and you have no control over it. So I think since leaving the show, my marriage and my home life and my friends, oh my God, my friends, can I just tell you? When the season ended and, you know, everybody's like, who's going to come back? I had a friendervention where all my friends came over and they were like, Leanne, we love you. We just got you back. You're funny again. You're lighthearted. We don't want to see you go through that anymore. Mm. We don't want to listen to you cry for another year. Mm. We just don't. You deserve better. And you know, what's funny is when you say like, cash the check and just not worry about it. Well, that would be great if I had like an Atlanta household check, but I don't. I had a Dallas check and the ratings are barely higher than Salt Lake. So you can imagine it wasn't very big.
Right. I guess like you can look at it. It's like, okay, then you use it to like build a brand. But at the same time, you're like, is that even worth it at the end of the day? You know, I mean, you see how fast things can, your brands, if you get canceled off a show, your brand can go away the same time.
Well, I think I will say this. You say, sure, stay on and build a brand. But if you're on and the choices they make are to show you in a light or twist you into something that nobody wants to, a piece of that brand,
yep.
Well, then what's the purpose? So now you're barely making six figures and your brand and your name are in the gutter because of what other people have decided to say about you. Whether it's fact or not, mm-hmm. doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter in reality TV.
Okay, so Leanne, on a positive note, what do you want to do now? Like, what's your vision for 2021 in with everything that, you know, you can control?
Yes, I'm excited. I'm so excited. You know, my life hasn't changed from leaving the show. I'm still out there. Sunday night, I was doing the virtual gala for Unlikely Heroes, which is based there in LA. They're out there rescuing and recovering children and women from sex trafficking all over the world, but mostly in Mexico and Thailand. I did that Sunday night. Today at 4:00, I'm building a gingerbread house for Alcohol Recovery Center. I did a food drive on Sunday for AIDS Services Dallas here in town. I don't stop. When the need stops, I'll stop, but the need in my community doesn't end. So because of that, I want to be present and I want to be a positive ripple that shows people how they can help one another. You know, I think more people would help if they knew how. So I'm going to continue my nonprofit. I'm an ambassador for Brian's House here in Dallas, which takes care of critically and medically sensitive children. And emotionally and physically sensitive children. So they really handle special needs. And I love what they do. So I'm you know, doing that. I still work with Dallas Street Dog Advocates, with strays. The nonprofit world doesn't end. My nonprofit world in this city still relies on me to make a difference. And as long as they need help, I'll be there. Personally, what I'm looking forward to is getting way back into what I wanted to do in season one And that is get back into motivation and inspiration and encouraging in my own unique way. Cause you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not politically correct. I'm not a non bad language using human. I say it how it comes out. It, you know, just stuff kind of falls out. Mm-hmm. So I just want people to know that you can still be, you can still focus on making yourself better without being perfect. Listen, nobody's perfect. And I think, you know, if you find someone that you think is perfect on Instagram, beware, fire beware. because, you know, we all broken one way or another. Mm-hmm. And when you learn to accept that you're broken and you learn to take where you are and grow, that's when you can really become not only an amazing human for yourself, but for your family and for your friends and for the community around you. So I'll be doing, getting back into that, writing a couple of inspiration books that I've got coming out for January, February, and March, relaunching all of my affirmation books, which I have 13 affirmation books. Those will relaunch New Year's Day. I'm working with two jewelry companies. We're building a huge brand. I'm calling it a candy land because, you know, I think of jewelry and stuff like that as candy. Cute. I'm you know, still taking my DJ lessons. I'm still wanting, my goal in life is still one day to DJ a party, you know. I don't slow down just because, you know, I'm not on that particular show.
Well, that's amazing. And a few things. First, the fact that you had that friend intervention from your friend. I mean, that's some real friends right there, that they're able to do that. I mean, that's the kind of people you want to surround yourself in life, which is amazing. Second, it seems exactly. Like you are full of life and energy since leaving the show, and just you're able to do all this. So that's encouraging for us, you know, being able to talk to you a couple years ago and seeing you now. That's amazing. And we're happy for you. And last thing before we let you go, we talked earlier in the show about something that came up. And we read a survey that a few years ago that said the National Sleep Foundation that almost 1 in 4 married couples sleep in separate bedrooms. Do you and Richard, I know, Jana and I are like, what? But we also talked about, we can kind of see how it's enticing at times. Do you and Richard sleep every single night together?
At times, maybe, like when he's, like right now he's got a fever and was coughing all night. Trust me, at 3 a.m. when he was coughing, I was like, if I could pick you up and carry you into another room, I would. Mm-hmm. But no. Laying down in bed at night and talking about what you want to accomplish the next day and what's important to you. And I mean, so sweet. My husband every night says, honey, are you mad at me? And I'm like, no, baby, not at all. I'm just falling asleep. And I love that. We fall asleep holding hands. We're best friends. If you are at a point where you're not communicating or feeling love from your spouse and you're not in the same room, how are you not just roommates? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand in the pandemic how that can be convenient, but value yourself more and want more for yourself, because every human deserves at their base core unconditional love. So mm-hmm. you need to find someone that will love you that way.
I agree with that. It's almost like you're blurring the lines there if you start to act like roommates too much. Things get sticky because then you're not as connected.
Mm-hmm. You aren't connected. And I think that's the most, communication is the most important thing in a relationship, in any relationship, mm-hmm. communication. I will say my husband loves to make me laugh. Not that he does it in ways that I would ever share with another human that doesn't genuinely know who we are, because people would be like, oh my God, did he just do that? I'm like, yeah. I mean, you know, he'll pop me on the back of the head sometimes and I'll be like, don't touch the driver. You know, we're kids. When we lose the joy of being around each other and laughing together and wanting to make each other's lives better, then that's when you have to really look at what's going on with not just your relationship, but with you and what you really want from life.
Yeah.
And you have to be honest. And so many people struggle. They struggle not just to be honest with the world, but sometimes I think people struggle to be honest with themselves.
Even more so.
And, yeah. You got to get real if you want a real life.
You got to. Well, Leanne, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We're happy for you and so excited for all the things that you got coming up.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you, and I'm happy for y'all. You look a little skinnier.
Not pregnant anymore.
Whoop, whoop.
Thanks,
thank
Leanne.
You so much,
you're
Leanne.
So
we appreciate your time.
Thanks, okay. Guys. Happy holidays.
You too, babe.
See you.
Merry Christmas.
Well, she's got a lot going on.
She does. And I feel like it's just such a curse. It can be such a curse if you are on a reality show and then you don't have the capabilities of editing it because, you know, you've seen how people can get mm-hmm. so twisted. And then it's once people make their mind up about you, it's hard to
especially
back to
on
the,
that scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a gamble right there for anybody that does that.
I mean, even with, you know, we don't obviously need to bring it up, but just when someone has a preconceived notion of what they just see on, you know, some websites or something,
mm-hmm.
they don't take the knowledge to get to know the person or know the actual facts behind it, and they just read what they see, and it's not always the truth. Sorry.
We can get real with it.
I was just like, you know.
No, I think it's...
If you want to talk about it, we can. That's totally up to you.
I know Mark's behind his screen right now, like...
No, it's sad, and it makes... But it's... The whole point and what I was just saying was, you know, that it people don't give the benefit of someone's real heart, and they just read stories and they make up their mind about people, you know, and there's a lot of people that dislike us because of our story. But something just happened recently with Mike, and you know, if he wants to share it, but it was just it's such a personal attack too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like one of my biggest fears was validated from a professional standpoint, where I was going to initially things were looking good. I was going to partner with this company to work on something that I've really wanted to work on. And
you put a lot of hard work into it. I mean, a lot of hard work. The company was very gung-ho and mm-hmm. also just, you know, very receptive
yeah.
and very involved for about, I'd say like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Just like all like, you know, and he took a lot of time, a lot of nights, a lot of the hours in the day and really mm-hmm. like worked hard on this project.
Mm-hmm. And then once things got into, you know, paperwork being drawn up and more, you know, legal teams being involved in everything, all of a sudden things took a turn and I started getting emails that it felt like smoke and mirror. It felt like just smoke. Like, I actually, you know, we realized it wasn't a good thing for Q1, but maybe Q2, it's something we can revisit and this and that, and the design of it. And everything, every obstacle they stated, I fired back with, okay, if this is a problem, let's do this. Let's do that. Like, let's talk about it. Let's all conform. All, you know, offered a solution for every single problem that they or obstacle that they brought up. I was like, it doesn't have to be in Q1. Let's keep this train rolling. Let's talk about things for later. And then her after my last email last week, her nothing back. And then
they said they wanted to do a Zoom. They're like, okay, let's set a Zoom to talk about all of this.
Yeah,
and then our manager followed up.
Well, that wasn't even the last thing. The last thing was, there were more emails after the Zoom talk.
Yeah.
Because, again, they were just kicking the can down the road. And then ultimately our manager followed up this morning and they came back with just a very direct, like, yeah, it doesn't seem like the direction we want to go. So if that was the case from Jump Street, I wouldn't take it as personal as I ended up taking it. And my biggest fear since all of this stuff with Jan and I is that opportunities will be taken away from me because of me publicly being a sex addict.
Oh, wow.
And it's really hard because there was a 180 degree shift.
Once she brought in her team.
Once the legal team and stuff like that were brought in.
And it's also part of a kids company.
Yeah.
I see. So you were vetted and then their tone changed and you felt when they start to play off.
Yeah, and it would be different if as soon as the team came in, that was said kind of from the get-go. But it was the whole kicking the can down the road and, like, smoking me. Like, don't give me this bullshit about, well, you know, the financials and this size of an order. And, like, just tell me, hey, you know what? After further review, it's not going to work out. So sorry. Well, okay, fine. Don't sit there and fuck with me.
After a few weeks of everything was great, it was until she brought in her other partner legal team is when it was just like.
Yeah, so it's, you know. And I did my best at, and Janet, you know, did her best supporting me and being like, hey, you know, it's, we can't go there and think that it's that personal. That's just my shame. And I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. It's my coming up. It's just my fear. But then just the way things unfolded even this morning, I was like, I don't see how it's not, you know, when we've offered solutions for every obstacle they sent. So it just sucks, man. It's one of those things. That just, it's like the Scarlet A in a way, you know, it's, I mean, I'd be naive to think that some opportunities wouldn't be taken away because of society's lack of acceptance, understandably so, with this disease at times and right now. So, but still, it stings because it, you know, I tend to take things more personally anyways. So when a fear is validated around the most shameful thing that I have as an individual, not a great feeling. So, but I'm just trying to do my work to not dwell on it.
Sorry you're going through that, Mike. That really stinks. And it's also frustrating because I'm sure they have to tiptoe around it because they could expose themselves to all kinds of other situations if they don't. Mm-hmm. And then the other element is, I don't know what this is, but is your name on it? Is your face on it? Because if not, I can't understand why any of this would matter. But
name and face would eventually be on it. Yeah, like name would be on it. I'd be associated with it. The family would be associated with it.
Right.
It was such a fitting opportunity mm-hmm. for both sides. Like and that's why the owner was so gung ho, because it was such with kids to us to everything to something that's used every single day. Like it was the perfect thing for me to be creative behind that I was most passionate and interested in doing. So it's just one of the things. So I just have to find a different route to getting there. So, but yeah, it sucks. That this is where the stuff about, you know, majority of people in 12-step programs live with anonymity and be able to live that way. This is where I'm just like, you know, must be nice.
But I guess at this point you have to focus on the positives that have come out of being open.
For sure. For sure.
All the people that you've helped with your openness.
There's no question. And that outweighs 1,000 times over these situations. You know, it doesn't take the sting off in the moment, but it does once I'm able to swallow and process. It does take the sting off, because yeah, I wouldn't trade that for anything. The people that we've been able to help and how we've been personally able to benefit from it. So, like, from an emotional, spiritual standpoint,
I love you.
Thanks, honey. And that's all I need. I love you too.
Mark, why are you looking at us so
strange? That was such a sweet little moment.
Yeah, well, we're going to do something and we're going to blow their company out of the water.
And there's my wife. Go for the throat.
Go for the jugular. Oh, okay. All right. Well, we hope you all have a merry, 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 merry Christmas. And we can't wait to wind down after Christmas. Feliz Navidad.
And this Christmas will be